a new way of living is coming your way. Have you heard of eco-villages? Their focus is shared renewable energy, shared water, community gardens to grow local produce. For the last 10 years or so, sustainable settlements have been putting the wheels in motion for an eco-village in Wychcliffe, south of Margaret River. Now, I was having a look and the strata blocks range from $115,000 for a groupie block, which is 336 square metres, to about $240,000 for a family block, which is 846 square metres. And apparently 93 of 109 lots have sold in stages 1 and 2. Now, they don't sound particularly cheap for a country estate, but it's the infrastructure you get to use that makes the difference, according to my next guest. Professor of Sustainability, Peter Newman AO, is an environmental scientist, author, and lecturer. Good afternoon, Professor.
G'day, Christine.
Nice to catch up again. Tell me, what is an eco-village, Peter?
Well, they are really using 21st century technology, which is the renewables and recycling and permaculture, and adding to it an ancient concept of living together and sharing more in a village. And the village idea is having a rebirth around the world, particularly from COVID, which showed us how important the local area is and how we, how our communities really need to work closer together. So that's the kind of thing that's driving it. And by the way, I'm not financially connected to this development.
Good to know. Thank you. No conflict of interest.
But it is very special because some of the technology they're using in terms of the how they're sharing the solar energy and linking in the electric vehicles and so on. This is a world first. But the village idea is not new.
No, that's very true. So it's a nice combination of old and new. Let's talk about these microgrids. How do they work, Peter?
Yeah, well, the area has 23 houses in each cluster, and each of these, and there are going to be about 700 people in the end. And those 93 that are blocks that have sold already, by the way, have happened before them. It's gone to market. It'll be open fairly soon, so there'll be more available. But the microgrid is how each of those clusters works and are then linked together. So that each of the houses will have solar on the roof, about 5 kilowatts. And that's fairly normal for most houses with reasonably sized roofs. I can't get that much on my roof, but it's pretty good. And they will share a Tesla battery in amongst the cluster of houses that are all pulled together. So that battery it will be collecting the solar that's developed during the day, so they can use it at night. And that means that they are largely not needing the grid. But sometimes they'll be making so much energy that it will be going back into the grid and making them money. And at other times they may need the grid. So the microgrid operates mostly by itself, but it's also linked to the grid and enables the grid to work better, because it takes the pressure off the grid when everyone else is using it in the early evening.
And does that mean that if something were to happen, less houses are blacked out, I suppose?
Yeah, certainly it is very resilient. And this is why Western Power is actually doing this right across the whole network in the southwest. Perenjori is getting its own, well, has its own microgrid, and it is a test to see how well it works and how they share the power through a community battery system that's linked up there. They've got 9 suburbs in Perth where they're now trialling microgrids with community batteries. And each of those places work better in that whenever there's any kind of fluctuation in the grid, and that's what causes the blackouts or brownouts, or disrupts the television or brings down your internet or something, that can be carried by the local microgrid because it's very well stabilised and the battery's always there and can just quickly fill in any stability problems in the grid.
Yeah, interesting.
So it's the first line of defence, if you like, against the everything going down.
Yeah.
And then when you have lots and lots of them together, the grid works better. And that's what they're aiming towards now. This is the new kind of grid that's developing. It's called a distributed grid. And we're going to be one of the first cities in the world to have it. But right across the southwest, right through to Kalgoorlie and up to Geraldton Way, it's a long, a very big grid, and they'll be dividing it up into microgrids, and some of them may well work best just by themselves.
Yeah, wow. It's 13 minutes to three. If you have just tuned in, you're wondering what we're talking about. Peter Newman is my guest, Professor of Sustainability. We're talking about eco-villages in general and the fact that WA's first is in Wychcliffe. Now, you were saying that permaculture is a big part of the village. How so, Peter?
Well, they have each of the clusters of houses has their own permaculture plot, and there will be the whole place will be set up in teaching people how to grow food. It'll provide all kinds of compost and so on that's available, and they will have lots of experts around to help with the gardening process. So you have your own local garden in your collection of 20 odd homes and veggie patches right next to your house that you're encouraged to help with grow your own local veggies. But the whole permaculture thing is done together with those other people. And so you can be working at home on your NBN link because they're all linked in, and some of the people who bought are people working in Perth, and they say, look, I can work down there just as well. And yeah, every time I want a break, I just wander out and help on the garden, and people are out there on the garden as well.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of community that is created around a garden as well as around sharing the solar. And they've got they're self-sufficient in water. They've got their own big dams that they've created on the site.
You can use your gardening skills for the benefit of the community. And I understand that there are benefits when it comes to water as well. How so?
Yeah, well, the designs are all done to minimise the amount of water you need, but you will need water for the permaculture gardens, but there will be trees to help provide more shade, and so you can have as much as possible to save water in the house, appliances and things. But the water is all collected from the rain that falls on the site and stored in dams there, and then put around. There will be some community bores that can be linking in and providing water, particularly for the gardens that way.
Yeah.
So it's all very efficient and local and managed locally. So there's, the 700 people have their village committee that helps manage it all, and it's all done very smartly, though. All of that stuff about sharing power and so on, you don't have to make any decisions about it. It's all programmed in and automatic, and you can make money from it as well by plugging in an electric vehicle, which will also be shared, by the way. They're trying to get shared electric vehicles there so they can be available for people to do a quick trip up to the city or somewhere else. But the electric vehicles can be plugged in to that same solar source, so it's very, very cheap to run.
It's so high-tech and low-tech all at the same time.
Yep.
Are there any elements of the eco-villages that you're not sold on, Professor? Do they take up more space? Are they more costly to set up? What's your analysis of it?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one, because I'm out there really pushing it at the moment.
That's fair. I
would think that it could become a bit exclusive, and I wouldn't want to see that. But they're trying very hard to make some affordable sites that are available. Particularly, they're getting single women over 65, they've said, are a big group that are looking for a more of a village situation. And that to me sounded pretty good. You know, you sort of can see that there is a need for certain people to have that kind of opportunity.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be just for the wealthy who can afford these ritzy things.
Yes.
And certainly that's something they're going to have to keep working on, because it will be popular, there's no doubt. But maybe we should just start a market for another 20 of them as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Well, look, I must admit, I saw the photos and thought, I love the idea of eco-friendly living. Why isn't there more of this in other areas, Peter?
Well, the whole system doesn't help you much. Developers come along and buy a bit of land and subdivide it and sell it using the same kind of model, the same kind of buildings, the same kind of everything.
Yeah.
And that's all part of the rules. Local governments have their rules and, it's the way you do it. So it is a matter of having someone who's a bit more entrepreneurial, who can put together the ideas and say, why can't we do this? And go and talk to them and say, oh, well, I suppose we don't really need to have that rule stopping you from sharing solar or whatever. You know, it is a matter of changing the system eventually, but the first people to do it are usually people who are quite adventurous about getting the system to change and welcome this new technology and the new ways of doing things.
Yeah, and I know this has been a long time coming for Mike Hume and the team. And there are a few local companies working in the sustainable living sphere. How long do you think it'll be until this becomes the new norm, Professor?
Well, I think the breakthrough is to get something at scale like this, because there's been a lot of groups they have been developing eco-villages down around the Denmark area for a while, and I've been to some of these. But they're a bit more like a normal development that's sort of linked together in a vague way. And they do operate as groups of people in a vague community. This is much more enabled to work together. You have to work together because you're sharing the utilities, and that is a new way. But up until now, we haven't really had too much of an enabling process to make it happen. But once it's up and running and it's very popular,
yeah,
you'll find that the systems will change very quickly.
I hope so. Will this change our way of life, Professor?
Well, it certainly will for some, and they have been waiting for this opportunity. One of the people apparently told Mike that they wanted to come down there because they're just needing a new start. They do need to have an opportunity to get new friends and create an opportunity for bringing their grandchildren down there and getting to know the natural world a bit better, finding out how it all works in a village, because we don't even know how our power is produced and our water comes. It's all just in a tap and a flick of a switch and so on. But you'll actually be able to see how it's made and how you share it, and all of those sort of things make it more attractive. So, yeah, I think that will change people's lives, but it will also help set up something that we can say we are doing well. So why not make this a really strong feature of what Western Australia is like? We have these villages all through our cities and through our towns, through our regions, and that's the way we work and live.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? A great thing to say. Well, this is a start, at least, so Wychcliffe's Eco Village. Thank you so much for breaking it all down for us, Peter. Always great to chat.
Okay, thank you.
That's Professor of Sustainability Peter Newman, environmental scientist, author, talking about the Eco Village in Wychcliffe, which is just south of Margaret River. So as I mentioned, stages 1 and 2 are nearly completely sold out. Stage 3 is going onto the market in June, and stages 4 and 5, there's 5 in total, will come out early next year.